A teacher whose school is out Fridays asked me to say Thursdays are epic. Welcome to our penultimate program of 2014. It starts with news concerning Cuba. Yesterday, President Obama announced a major change in relations between the U.S. and Cuba. The U.S. government is reopening its embassy in the communist country. It's allowing travel and trade that's been banned since President Kennedy was in office. The two nations have been at odds since 1959, when communists overthrew the island's government and took control. During the Cold War, the rivalry between the U.S. and Soviet Union, Cuba was an ally of the Soviet Union, at one point allowing nuclear missiles to be installed as a threat to the U.S. In an effort to punish Cuba, the U.S. put an embargo in place, a ban on trade with Cuba. U.S. officials hoped that isolating the country would influence its government to turn from communism and give its people more freedom. President Obama says that didn't work.
I believe that we can do more to support the Cuban people and promote our values through engagement. After all, these 50 years have shown that isolation has not worked. It's time for a new approach.
Part of that approach involved an exchange of prisoners. The U.S. sent three convicted Cuban spies back to their home country. Cuba sent home a U.S. intelligence agent. Also, Cuba freed Alan Gross, a 65-year-old American. He'd served 5 years in a Cuban prison for delivering phone equipment that could access the Internet. Cuba's government restricts Internet use. President Obama's shift in policy was made without congressional approval. Critics call it illegal and say that the U.S. gave up everything and gained little.
This entire policy shift announced today is based on an illusion, on a lie. The lie and the illusion that more commerce and access to money and goods will translate to political freedom for the Cuban people.
Analysts are calling it a loss for Americans' freedom of expression. The release of a comedic film critical of North Korea has been postponed, and it's all because of anonymous hackers. There was a cyber attack at Sony Pictures. It shut down computers. It exposed all kinds of private information about employees, actors, and business. Then, on Tuesday, a hacker group threatened any theaters planning to show the film. Major chains canceled screenings, and Sony pulled the movie. It says it stands by its filmmakers and their right to free expression, and that it's extremely disappointed by this outcome.
Hackers claiming to be the same group that stolen data from Sony Pictures took a potentially violent turn towards terrorism. Along with a document dump that's described as a Christmas gift, a group delivered a warning to people planning to see the movie, The Interview. The film is about two hapless journalists recruited by the CIA to kill the leader of North Korea, Kim Jong-un. The film has infuriated Pyongyang, Kim Jong-un's government calling it an act of war.
They're denying that they are directly involved. We all suspect they were.
The movie is a comedy, but after this message, no one's laughing. It says soon all the world will see what an awful movie Sony Pictures Entertainment has made. The world will be full of fear. Remember the 11th of September, 2001. The Department of Homeland Security says it's aware of the threat, but hasn't found evidence of an active plot within the United States.
We don't have any credible threat specifically of any violence or anything. I would encourage people to continue enjoying their lives, going out shopping, doing everything else.
Still, the stars reportedly stopped media appearances, and Thursday's premiere in New York has been canceled. All this as federal investigators scrub Sony's computers to try to figure out where this threat of a bitter fate came from.